Good morning. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. A few announcements. Just in as far as prayers, obviously the date, right? September 11th. So we all know what happened on September 11th. From a more personal side, 13 years ago, Nate passed away on September 11th, and I don't want to make it bigger or smaller than it is. It's just the reality of what the body of Christ has dealt with in this, the communion of saints in this church have dealt with, and also with Steve and Jackie losing mom. Let's make an effort of reaching out to God and through that spirit and praying for that, the worries. And also, it's Child Cancer Awareness Month. So anybody that's dealing with cancer, anybody that has a child, or anybody that has dealt with a sibling, brother, sister with cancer, this is the month. September is the awareness month for that. So prayers go out to those people and thoughts, and we need to understand as communion. Community and body of believers and saints, that there are people in the world that are hurting because of this tragic disease. So let's just be aware of that, that it is amongst the bodies of believers here, but also amongst the world. So prayer is necessary for that. Today, the psalm reading, Andrew will be reading. Calvin will be doing the prayer and the message. And we do have communion. So all of that is happening. It's such a good thing to happen in the first day of Sunday school and having everybody back. That's awesome. Wednesday men's group at my place, 7:30. Friday Bible study at 7. Are there any other messages? Today, yes, we can't forget that. I'm sure everybody's out, and they've already made the burgers and hot dogs, and we have a new family that just came in. So I'm not gonna make you stand up and tell your, but just welcome them. There's some new faces here, so introduce yourself and make friends. Let's begin.
Jesus, most sweet, Jesus, most sweet, all that's good and fair, he shows. morning. Psalm today is Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and my sin, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me know wisdom, to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. When will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee? Deliver me from blood guiltness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud thy righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall shew forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thy altar. Continue with 307.
To a world of sinners revealed, blessed be the God's peace. And may I borrow the salutation of the Apostle Paul. Grace be unto you from God the Father, and our grace be unto you from our Lord Jesus Christ. Certainly want to acknowledge the prayers for those of us who are being asked to fill in as our pastor is away. Acknowledge the courage of those who step out of their comfort zone to be part of the kingdom and to proclaim the good news. Before we open in prayer, I'd like if you to read the Old Testament scripture as well that's on the calendar. So if we can together, Exodus 32, verses 7 through 14. That's Exodus 32, verses 7 through 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go, get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and that I may make of thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord his God, and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, For mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saith unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto you your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. May we open in prayer. Father, we come unto you this hour acknowledging our unworthiness, prone to wander, prone to be impatient and not wait unto your leading, prone to walk more by sight than by faith, unable to worship you as you desire, but only as we are able, as we conceive and know of you. Please allow us not to just worship you as this molten calf which represents just a small portion of you, your strength and power, but may we worship you the limitness of your power, the limitness of your grace and mercy, the limitness of your love that you show toward us. Father, we come unto you not to instruct you. And though you ask us to raise up unto you supplication for each other, we ask of you that you may show us the needs of your kingdom, what it is that you ask us to do for you, that we can help in this way, and that you may enlighten us, Father, to the sin that lies within, that we have buried and that doesn't bother us until you show us that it's there. Father, may we so intercede for those that you've offered up into your kingdom, as if we would take personal responsibility for each other as our brother. For God, in this instance of Scripture that you recorded for us, that we know it's of no coincidence that you judged 3,000 souls who did not acknowledge you as their Lord and God and Savior and worship you with all their heart and all their mind and all their soul. And yet, when you opened your church here on earth, on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls were saved unto us. Father, we do acknowledge that the hurting, these times of reflection, we ask you to carry Steve and Jackie and his siblings, Father Albert, this time as they've lost the mom and wife and matriarch of their family. We ask you to certainly carry and uplift those that are stricken with disease that we don't understand and struggle to grasp its reality. We ask you to certainly carry those and be with those who we may say fortunate enough to be healing, to be recovering. We're thankful for this. We certainly ask also, Father, for your continued guidance upon those not only here and in the classroom downstairs as Sunday school has started, but at home, that our parents may bring up our young ones in the nurture and admonition of you. And Father, to this end, may all glory and honor be given. Amen. Shall we continue with 323? Well, as many of you know that have had the misfortune and experience in a Sunday school that I've led, I'm prone to wander a little bit. And given some thought to our text here, I've had to kind of jot some notes down to keep myself on track, and that, you know, hopefully there you won't count too many squirrels during this message, if you will. As Tom mentioned, 21 years ago today, 6:14 in the morning, to many of us, our foundations are shaken, still are. Some of you aren't old enough to know firsthand, to experience this. I know Jason isn't here, but I can recall Jason coming into the shop that morning and saying, "A plane just crashed into the Empire State Building." Didn't realize the seriousness and graphicness of how that would affect us all. Many of us, our foundations have been shaken since in other ways, and as time stood still for many of those day, that day, time seems to possibly continue on without end for some of us. And I know my thoughts of that morning are, of all the graphic images, of all the thoughts, lie with the first responders who rushed into the center of trouble to help their neighbor. Neighbors they had no idea. Some of which, no doubts, started their eternity in damnation. Many of which started an eternity unto salvation. We're thankful for that. So in considering a text, and given it was the text on the calendar today, I looked at this this text in the chapter of Luke, in the 15th chapter, verses 1 to 10, that where Luke records for us a couple parables, the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin, and the parable of the lost coin being unique to this gospel. And in Luke, you will see a bunch of tabs here freshly set in my binder to help me not get lost and can keep me on track today, and it may be impossible for me to provide source for all of these, but in some pretext, if we would look at the very beginning of this chapter before we read our text, in the first chapter, in the first four verses, Luke kind of gives us an introduction as to why he wrote this gospel. As recorded, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order, a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mayest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." In that, I guess what I get from that is, it doesn't say that Luke traveled with Jesus. It indicates that Luke dissected with surgical precision all the information that was there at that time, believed to be the Gospel of Mark and Matthew. Not to build upon it, but to write to his dear friend Theophilus, who by definition of the meaning means a friend of the Lord. We don't know if that's a follower, a believer, or one seeking, but we know it's not an enemy. We can be assured of that. And in the uniqueness of this gospel, to me it's more of has an evangelical tone, differs Matthew and Mark in that he doesn't present the Pharisees as adversaries, as familiar with, you know, the Sermon on the Mount in the at the end of the fifth chapter, and we'll see how I do with time management here. In the 20th verse of the fifth chapter, he says, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." In that he's almost presenting them in a good light, if you take that literally. Of course, we know if you read the 23rd chapter of Matthew, and I won't go into that there's not too many nice things that Jesus says there about the Pharisees. I think we can struggle to find one there. I guess in this, the concept of the record of the way Luke recorded it, our text is a snippet of time, if you will, though not a chronological argument that he's presenting, but one that he's wanting us to know the certainty of Jesus' teaching, that we have no doubt that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, and he is the way unto eternal salvation, and that he's offered us these snapshots, these illustrations, some of them unique as are the one parable here, in that as we were talking about, you know, time and time has ended, and I think it's to go out of the text to the Gospel of John, I believe the seventh seventh chapter, first verse, John records that, and he says, "After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him." And he goes on to say, "For his time was not at hand." In the ninth chapter of Luke, in the 51st verse, Luke records for us, "And it came to pass, when the time was come, that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem." And that's where my thoughts lie today in presenting the illustrations that Luke has provided for us of the purpose that Jesus came here on earth. And Luke records for us only snapshots and different events and discourses and parables that the others, gospel writers, hadn't at that time, and others were speaking about this man and so on. These travels then, so Jesus was done speaking to Jewry, if you will. He had finished his ministry to the Galileans and set forth to head to Jerusalem to endure the cross. And not that we're covering the whole thing, but Luke's record of this journey ends in the 19th chapter, I believe, right after the conversion of Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector. And it says in the 28th verse of the 19th chapter, "And when he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem." So now we, prior to looking at these two parables, if you will, if I could explore also some more of this journey, more of his instruction to the church, and I guess as Daryl mentioned last week, the instruction on humility, that in the for those inclined to read, and I guess I might also say that if I accomplish nothing today, other than to excite you, as Luke has indicated in the opening of this gospel, to read this word and dissect it, to know that who your Savior is. Be assured of this, that you know you go through the eighth chapter and the ninth, and you know you read through theirs, and you think that Jesus would be a bit frustrated. Like, how many times has he said that I'm going to Jerusalem, I must do this, and what Daryl brought up last week, and they ask him, well, which one of this is going to be the greatest? I know where my forehead, like how indented it would be, but Jesus continued on his march. I think in the eighth chapter, in the very beginning of the eighth chapter, first verse, it says, "And it came to pass after that he went through every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him." And he also gave us instruction. So that's not only instruction to his church that we're going to be left behind to do his work. He indicated during his walk how to enter into the kingdom. And in the 21st, if I could use that as an example, the 21st verse of the 8th chapter seems we're there. "And he answered and said unto them, My mother and my brethren are these, which hear the word of God and do it." And interestingly enough, and again, Jesus, you know, possibly presenting the scribes and Pharisees in a good light in the ninth chapter in the 46th verse says, "Then there arose a reasoning among them, so now we come to close to our text, and if we could indulge with me the reading of the 14th chapter along with the first 10 verses of the 15th chapter, and I will skim over, if you will, the 14th chapter somewhat to provide some context for these two parables. Shall we begin with the 14th chapter in the first verse? "And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus, answering, spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace, and he took him, and he healed him, and let him go. And answered them, saying, Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again to these things. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, Give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down on the lowest room, that when he bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, Friend, go up higher. Then thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And then he said also to him that bade him, When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, nor thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made of thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. And when one of them sat at meat with him, heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then Jesus said unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them, and I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of his house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto his servant, Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of these men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whether he be of you that forsake not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out, and he hath ears to he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Then drew unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Amen. Thank you for the water. So, to not delve too deeply into the 14th chapter, Luke records for us in this journey to Jerusalem, as part of this passion, Jesus' passion to endure the cross for us, that he sat in the sat to take on the Sabbath day in the house of one of the Pharisees. And the first thing he does is challenges these discerners of the word that were able to dissect it. And doesn't really give him much opportunity, but he says, and he, as he sees a man sick of dropsy, or from what I understand, we would say edema, which is swelling or retention of moisture, can be fatal. Can use some help here for anybody that knows how to put on a Band-Aid. But, and, you know, and I don't think it's ironic that at the end of this chapter, he puts two verses in here about the uselessness of salt if it's overdone. Just saying. And he compares to them the ox, and really is a comparison, challenging their thought of that they would put an animal, they would heal an animal just like that, if needed, on the Sabbath day, which where they're not allowed to do any work. They're not healing a person. And then Daryl spoke on this about humility, in that he, look at my notes here so I can stay on track. You know, I guess, you know, about servitude of in the kingdom is just that, is of serving one another. And then he goes on, you know, in the next section here in verses 15, I guess, you know, after the one of the scribes is instructing him just really how it is to be blessed, like how would he know? You know, he indicates here that, you know, at the end he says, no, that's not the way. You will not find your way into the kingdom by observance and conformance. I know that's your intent. It is through me. And then he goes in the 25th, from the 25th verse through the 33rd, if you will. You know, and I guess there's one that I had to really sit down and look at again, and could use some help with this. But if this is Evangelism 101, I don't know how many I'm going to bring into the fold. That when he says, hey, if you're thinking of following me, think twice what it's going to cost. That if you're prepared to lose your life for my sake, don't even start. It'll be worse off for you at the end than it will at the beginning. And I guess in the 31st verse that, you know, to me, if you want to spiritualize this, that this is, our walk here is spiritual warfare. That the devil is much stronger than us. That we can't outnumber him and go to him and plead a deal. We know what his deal will be, and it won't be good for us. So then we come to the 15th chapter, and how do you explain a parable, I guess, but so we have Jesus, Luke is recording that there he is in the house of the Pharisees on the Sabbath. He obviously left there. 25th verse says, and there were great multitudes with him. So who was following him there? It says in our text that, well, the Pharisees and scribes were still there, but certainly those seeking of him, seeking to know heaven, seeking how to enter into the kingdom, what this kingdom is, how to be part of it, I believe. And now, to me, an escalation in that now we have publicans and sinners. Ooh. You know, what are publicans? the Bible says they're tax collectors. But could we say that social outcasts? We can probably put some definition to that. What we would fill in there. And who's a sinner? We recognize those. We recognize sin pretty easy when it's not sitting here like David. But could the sinner be the one who acknowledges that he's not being obedient? And who are these Pharisees and scribes? As we've indicated, Luke puts a much better light on them than Matthew, for sure. And to me, if you will allow me definition, that I've always felt that if, like, as the word Pharisee, even though that it may not totally be expanded or expounded upon within our text of the Bible and the canon of Scripture, that God is saying that, okay, you can understand, you get to explore what this Pharisee is, and that the scribes and Pharisees, from what I understand, they started in the intertestamental period. Dates are certainly varied as to how far before Christ, but it's certainly at least 150 years before Christ. The Pharisees, ironically, with the intent to be distinct from the Sadducees, who controlled the temple worship, to put worship into the synagogues, in that worship wasn't just of sacrifice in the temple, that we could worship God by the spirit of the word. And as we read and can read in the 23rd chapter of Matthew, Jesus didn't scorn too highly how they did. So I guess, what's some other thoughts? I know I'm missing something. Yeah, I guess one other thing there, I guess, yeah. I understand Pharisee, when you look at the definition of Pharisee, and in the Hebrew, it means to be separated from the Gentile. And there, the thought process was for purity, religious purity in worship. And you can then, you know, that definition holds water, holds case, that we, you can see why they weren't so inclined to eat with publicans and sinners. And yet, you know, as Luke records for us, his purpose to seek and save the lost. So we have this parable. And again, challenge of thought that he has. It's challenging our thought, how we think, how our service is in the kingdom. All right, do we have it right? Who are the sheep? I think in the Gospel of, to me, I would go to the Gospel of John to answer that question that I asked. And in the 10th chapter, the 26th through to the 29th, he says, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And then I ask the question in reading this, so who are the lost? if we know who the sheep are. Are the lost those who maybe once served the church with the zeal that the Pharisees show, now maybe cold, maybe a little frustrated with the church, not sure if God loves them, not sure if the church loves them. And then we move on to the next part of the illustration. Who are these shepherds? In the fifth verse, it kind of helps us out there. And it would seem to indicate that the shepherd of the sheep is the one who seeks and finds and cares for, embraces, builds up this lost sheep before just turning it out into the flock. And for some of you, that there's a couple here anyways that minister sheep, I asked the question, and I probably should have asked you this before proclaiming this, but would you leave 100 sheep, 99 sheep in the wilderness unattended? I don't take care of them, but I'm thinking that they're running wild, that they're still being taken care of. So this shepherd rejoices with that his sheep is found. It doesn't say, there's one thing it doesn't say, and this is positive connotation, but I mean, you can probably imagine the negative side. What we may come up with when we've gone hunting for someone that's gone wrong. I know my thoughts. I'll leave it to your imagination what they may be. And then we move to the next parable. And so we have a woman with 10 pieces of silver, and if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligent until she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. So could this be an example of the God providing the Holy Spirit unto us if we're not completely whole, like even 90%, there's diligence there to sweep and search and to restore and to become a 10. 9 isn't good enough. 10 is good. 10 is pure. Being formed in the image of his son. The virgin, we know that, you know, five didn't make it, 5 did. And that this, and I guess maybe the illustration and whether it's the case or not, as I understand it, a woman in marriage at that time would often and wear a signet or a necklace or something like that, having 10 coins. And the significance of her marriage and significance of our union with our Lord and Savior, could it be that this is the case? And that once it's found, once it's restored, not only has she got her signet, it's not only she complete, but her joy runneth over. There's an abundance of joy that he wants to share with others, that there's more than enough for her, that others can partake of this joy as well. Oops. So conclusion, for those that maybe may listen to this today, maybe listening, maybe at some other time. That don't yet fully grasp the clarity of the message of the gospel, that salvation comes through faith alone, if we can read in the book of Romans in the 10th chapter. I ask for that person that doesn't understand that the righteousness comes through faith in Jesus Christ, that God grants it to us based on that merit and not ours, to say these words in the 10th chapter of Romans, the 9th verse. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For those who, as I prayed before, that can't darken the door of a church at this time, who feel they don't merit God's love, who've wandered too far. I flipped to the first chapter of Romans in the 16th verse, and as Paul, I would exclaim to you, I would say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. May we believe that when Jesus said on the cross, the work of the cross, that he said, it is finished. That if you think you're hiding a sin, that he doesn't know about it, it has been put in the cup that he has paid the price for already for you. Just come. Come to the fold. To that end, let us close. Amen. Shall we continue with 325?
Thank you.
Let us pray with and for them that will now partake of the Lord's Holy Supper. Lord Jesus Christ, thou bread of life, grant that thy holy communion may be a blessing to all those who shall today partake of it, that through the power in thy body, of thy body and blood, they may receive peace and comfort to their souls and be strengthened in faith, love, and a lively hope of eternal life. Amen. Truly, it is meet, right, and blessed that we should at all times and all places give thanks unto thee, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, and which is to come. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of Hosanna the highest. Let us all pray as our Lord Jesus Christ has taught us, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Take, eat, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, broken for you. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, preserve thy body and soul unto eternal life. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you. May the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ preserve your bodies and souls unto eternal life. Amen. Praise the Lord for his gracious gift of which you have partaken. and proclaim his suffering, death, and resurrection until he cometh again. Arise and depart in the peace of the Lord. And let us give thanks. We'll put up this doxology before we take part in our barbecue.